Today on Real Radio.
Last verse. It's almost irreverent. She said, what are you talking about? This verse I'm going to read, it's shocking. It's amazing. You're going to want to write it down. You are sentenced to knowing this verse.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, we're spending some time in chapter 13. It's the section of Scripture where Paul gets very specific in describing perfect divine love, the love that comes from God. And in verse 8, he lists a number of spiritual gifts that we encounter in our lives as believers. But here's the question. Do they last forever? Another question? How do they compare with the love from above? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called With Just One Word.
Did you know that? You know that when you buy a car, right? The car looks awesome on the lot. And then 3 weeks later, it doesn't look so hot. Wouldn't it be great if you bought the car and the payments went down with how it looked? Still the same payments. And then shortly after a while, you feel pretty ripped off. Why? Second law of thermodynamics. You have to tighten up the nuts and bolts on it because the second law of thermodynamics says everything goes from an ordered state to a chaotic state. Did you know that? Did you know the sun's burning out right now? Did you know that by the time this service started to what it is right now, it's lost billions of tons of mass? Did you know that? Everything's like this. Everything of the material universe is coming apart, slowing down. Lambert Dolphin, in his works on physics, has argued for years, and there's some evidence now to back this up, that light is even slowing down because now scientists view light as a physical property. It's not a spiritual property, it's a physical property. That light is slowing down. 186,000, 200 and some odd miles per second it travels. And scientists say it's slowing down. Why? It's of this world. Listen, the love that people have for one another, it changes. It's moody. I'll love you forever. Isn't that what the Kardashians said to somebody recently? I've never seen the program. Don't even know who it is, but I saw it on the news. I guess some Kardashian girl dumped some guy she married. No? Do I have that right? Okay, then. See, I know. By the way, husband and wife, you want to keep your marriage together? This is not going to sound good, but it's perfect, perfect, wonderful advice. You want to keep your marriage together? Do not love your wife more than anything. Do not love your husband more than anything. You want to keep your marriage going? Don't love your spouse more than anything. You want to keep your marriage healthy and happy, crazy and fun? Love God most. Amen. Love God first. All the other stuff works out beautifully. Too much headbutting in marriage and relationships. Whoa, we just don't get along, and he's a real jerk, and she's a real nincompoop, and now, shut up. Love God and watch what happens. Everything gets fixed. Sounds simple, huh? But you still haven't tried it, maybe, huh? It's so simple, you're not going to do it. Do it. It's not of this world. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 19:10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't that amazing? Display of love that's not of this world. Where did love come from? God. In our lost condition, what did he do? He came down. While we were blinded by sin, what did he do? He showed himself to us. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he great? It's not of this world. I mentioned the word a moment ago, uncaused. This is a real beautiful shocker. The attribute of God's love. Now, listen, the nature of God is love. God is love. Please understand this. Any of you in the hippie era, raise your hand if you're a hippie. They won't raise their hand. Okay, anybody 55 and over? More men raise their hands. No women are raising their hands. The hippie era, everything was love, love. We're the love children. I'm a love child. Love, remember? The love bug. Remember the love bug? Love, everything was love. Make love, not war. Remember that? Listen, God is love. Love is not God. The hippie movement tried to make love their God. And what came out of that was a bunch of drugs, stoned out, illegitimate births. And it didn't work. Why? Because love is not God. If love is God, then the tree can be God. Then the ocean's God. No. The nature of God is love. And that's good news for us. It's amazing. It's not of this world. This uncaused love, listen, it means there's no prerequisite to God loving you, and there are no demands. You say, well, yeah, but you know what? What if I'm the meanest guy on the planet? Now, listen to me carefully. Even though you're the meanest guy on the planet, God loves you. Make sure you hear what I'm saying right now. I'm not saying that God says, you're the meanest guy on the planet, and I love you, and well, by golly, you're just okay with me. He's not a wimp. God is holy, and you're a sinner, and you're rebelling against God by being the most rotten little guy on the planet. Here's the thing. You need to repent of your attitude and pursue God. Okay? Now, here's the thing. He loves you tremendously, but it's not a human love. It's not a love that looks at you and says, well, yes, you're a big brat, but I'm just going to pat you on the back and encourage you all along the way. No. I just read a thing the other day. It upset me that many young Christians today, 18 to 30 years of age, was a poll recently done, and they don't want to go to church because they said that the church causes them to feel uncomfortable regarding their unsaved friends. Think of that for a moment. America's youth are saying, I don't want to go to church because it makes me feel uncomfortable about my unsaved friends. They said, I want to be with my unsaved friends. They want Christianity. They want to go to heaven. They want all the blessings of heaven. But they want to hang out with their friends. And they don't want anything to do with what church or God or the Bible has to stand for because it makes them uncomfortable. Think about that for a moment. We have swallowed a definition of love that's not healthy. Because what if God were to say, stop, stay, sit? We would sit there and cry, I didn't hear what I wanted to hear, and God just made me upset. What if he was trying to keep you from getting killed? Didn't he say one day, Noah, get in the boat? If you loved your kid and they were playing marbles on the train track, wouldn't you say, get off the track? Daddy, don't yell at me. That's not nice. We have to be very careful. This love is not of this world. Jesus says, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. And a lot of people won't say that verse anymore because it might make someone feel uncomfortable. Listen, I would rather look at a friend and listen, honestly love them and tell them, listen, do you doubt my love for you? No. Then listen to what I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus said this, and you're lost. Will you please at least go home from this conversation and get on your knees and ask him if he's real? Because my friend, listen, I love you so much, I got to tell you the goods. Jesus didn't die on that old cross for nothing. He bled on that cross and he died on that cross because there's a lot at stake right now. And all you're sleeping around or you're doing your drugs or your bad attitude, he loves you, but it separated you from him and he wants you with him. And so I want you to go home and I want you to pray about it. Oh no, we can't say that because we might upset our lost friend as we pat them on the back, comfort them with what I don't know, and send them into a Christless eternity that I think in the end they might come back and point to us before the throne and say, why didn't you tell me about this hot place? Why didn't you say anything about this to me? Why didn't you tell me this? Well, I didn't want to make you upset. Can you imagine an eternity how upset they're going to be if no one told them? His love is not of this world. His love will travel universe, sea and land to announce to us, I love you. If you were here last Wednesday night, then you were here last Wednesday night in our worldview series. We're taking issues and topics head on from our culture, and what does the Bible say about them? And the topic last Wednesday night was suicide. And the things I've heard this week of amazing things, of broken hearts of people who are burying their children, 13-year-old hanging himself in a non-believing home, no love, care. Two other people committing suicide unintentionally. Unintentionally, I'm not going to go into the details. It's a part of a perversion that is rampant in our young culture today regarding sexual activity, and it went wrong, and they both hung themselves to death. Why does it make me mad? Because I said on Wednesday, it's all unnecessary. If you realize that God loves you, and he's not playing games with this love, he's absolutely crazy in love with you. The next thing is this: his love cannot be measured. It's immeasurable love. Love never fails. Very quickly, William Randolph Hearst, you ever heard of him? You ever been to Hearst Castle? You ought to go. It's pretty crazy. If a human being can have a house like that, then what has Jesus been building us for 2,000 years? The guy has a gold swimming pool. His friends wouldn't go swimming in it because they didn't want to get their hair wet. He invited Cary Grant and all those people. For real. They didn't want to get their hair wet. He got so angry, he threw them out of the pool area, and he brought in giraffes and zebras and monkeys and had them swim in his pool. He said, if you're not going to enjoy it, then they will. Gold-plated pool. You got to go up there and see. It's only about 4 hours from here. Amazing. You know what? The guy was so rich, a billionaire. The guy was so rich, he didn't even know what he owned. He heard about something, reading the Encyclopedia of Britannica. He read about something, this incredible ceiling that was in some monastery in Italy. And he said, man, I'd like to have that ceiling in my house. And he got his guys together. He had buyers going all over the world to buy stuff. Did you know that? And he said, I tell you what, I want this ceiling. I want it from this cathedral in Italy. I want it in my house. Do you know? A guy came and he said, Mr. Hearst, you bought that ceiling 3 years ago. It's in your warehouse, hasn't been installed yet. He didn't even know what he had. Christians are like that. The love of God. Oh God, do you love me? Does anybody love me? God, do you care about me? Dear sir, dear ma'am, you've had that in your warehouse of your heart years ago. You just need to get it out and put it on. Yes. Does God care about me? Does God, excuse me, ma'am, that came to you several years ago when you gave your heart to Christ. I suggest you pull it out of your warehouse and put it on. The other day, my heart was moved to compassion. I saw a woman, elderly woman, at Vaughn's supermarket. Lisa sent me there for something, and I'm a horrible shopper because I kind of go like this. If she wants milk, thank you. If she wants milk, I'll just kind of scoot by and get some milk, and with my arm, it kind of knocks in the yogurt and other things too. I do drive-by shopping. You know what I saw? I felt like an idiot. There was a little old lady. She could have been from Pasadena, I'm not sure. But she had an envelope, and she had coupons, and she was raising the coupon, and she was looking at it with her glasses, and then she had the cup of soup, and she's looking to see if the coupon matched the can before she put it in her cart. And I'm just scooping stuff up like there's no tomorrow. And you know what? Maybe she's doing that because she's just trying to make it to the end of the month, you know? But how many of us are like this? Oh, God, do you care about me? Can I even have this? You see this? This is God's checkbook to your life. How can you measure something that is immeasurable? Things that you have to measure are things that run out. You cannot measure his love. This could be a church that grabs you by the head and bends your ears and beats you up and puts you in a headlock and say, "Obey God!" There's churches like that. You can go to churches like that. Or I can say that God loves you, Jesus loves you, and you ought to respond to that in like fashion and love him back. Amen. You're going to have to make a choice. You want religion? This is not the place for you. If you want us to doggedly pursue you every day and make you read your Bible and make you pray, this is not the church for you. But if you want to have a relationship with God, then this is the church for you, because you know what? All of us together, we're following him. And listen, when we get to the end, we'll all rejoice together. And it is his word that gets us through. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's all about love, not about what you, thou shalt not. When you meet Jesus, it's thou gets to. Thou gets to? Thou gets to. I don't know if those are words or not, but they... Because of time, we have to go to the third point. We just have to go to the third point. It's the close. Love never what? Fails. The word in the Greek for fail is it cannot wither, fail. To fail, love never fails. It will not wither. The petal will not fall. That's what the actual meaning of the word is. The petal from the flower cannot fall. I love that. He's the lily of the valley. It cannot fall. His love cannot fail us. In that hour, in the hour of the announcement, in the hour of the pain, in the hour of the sorrow, in the hour of the issue, his love will not wither. Oh man, I don't know how to tell you. If I could stand on my head to get it across, I would do it. Like Billy Sunday, he used to throw furniture and stuff at his audience in church. To get the point across, it is this. His love is so unable to wither, that in whatever you are thinking, dealing with, shall deal with, will encounter in the year ahead, is all governed under the unwithering love of God. And even if it's an accident to us, it's ordained of him. If it is an announcement to us that shakes us to our core of fear, when we settle down, we remember. We go through our envelope of coupons and we pull out a promise and say, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for thou trust in him." Isaiah 26:3. Do you have a coupon? Do you have a Bible like that? His love will never fail you, ever. It's forever. Can't stop. Secondly, it's unchanging. Listen, this is a shocker. It's needed. So what's needed? Love never fails because, listen, are you guys sitting down? Listen to this. In eternity, another reason why his love cannot fail, it doesn't have the nature or the ability to fail, but the reason why it's a never-ending love is because in eternity, it's needed. Listen, reading these things, digging into this, I was actually kind of shocked by a profound sense of simplicity. It almost knocked me off my feet. I have always thought for all my life as a Christian that in heaven we'll need nothing. Have you ever thought that? Well, in heaven I won't need anything. Did you know that's not true? I was blown away. But Pastor... Oh, yeah, I know. Tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge, it will be done away with. Faith, hope, no need for it. What will you need faith in heaven for? You won't need it. You'll see him face to face. Hope, what are you hoping for? Can you imagine being in heaven? Oh, man, I hope it's a good day today. You won't need it. The reason why his love never fails is because eternity is forever, and you're going to be there, and you will need his love. It doesn't mean that you're going to be walking around crying, "Ooh, I need his love." No, it's amazing. You will need his love and it will be met. Your need will be met in absolute totality, fullness from God himself. Your heart will be overflowing. All you will be satisfied forever in heaven with him. Last verse. It's almost irreverent. See, what are you talking about? This verse I'm going to read, it's shocking. It's amazing. You're going to want to write it down. You are sentenced to knowing this verse. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. You've heard this verse before. It's perfect for the ending of this. The Lord your God in your midst. Look at it. By the way, L-O-R-D. Anybody remember what that is? Tetragrammaton, Yahweh. Capital Y, capital H, capital W, capital H, the name of God. God is not his name. He is God. His name is Yahweh, the Lord. That's his name, Lord. The Lord your God in your midst. That's called heaven. Watch. The mighty one. That's awesome. Watch. Will save. Who saves? Church, come on. Who saves? He does. Yahweh does. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Stop right there. Hold it up on the screen. There's a comma. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Are you kidding me? The Lord, when you are in heaven, he's going to come up to you and he says, I'm going to rejoice over you with gladness. I am going to, listen, the word means I'm going to sing and dance with an overflowing heart of joy when you get to heaven. Who's going to? Yahweh. Do you know him like this? Do you know him, the one who, when you enter heaven, he's going to go, yes! Jack, come here! Gabriel, Michael, Noah, James, Peter, Paul, Mary, come here! Look, come here, buddy. And he's going to rejoice over me with kindness. It gets better. He will quiet you with his love. The word quiet means he will confirm, he will put at rest, he will stabilize with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The word means that the Lord somehow is going to overshadow you personally when you get there. How's that going to work in eternity? Remember, there's no lions in eternity. How's that going to work? You won't be standing there going, I've been standing here for 7 years waiting to see Jesus. That ain't going to happen. There's no time there. Somehow, for each and every one of us, he is going to rejoice over us with singing. Jack, you big knucklehead, you made it! I don't know what he's going to sing. It's going to be amazing. I don't need to know it right now. I just know that he's going to do it. And you want to live this life without the love of God? What are you, crazy? What are you doing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. With Just One Word is the title of this study, taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, if you'd like to hear today's Real Radio once again, you can always visit us at realradioactive.org. Listen to today's broadcast as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past editions of Real Radio. You can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.